Hey guys, I'm Jackie Brubaker, host of the Love You Even More podcast. I'm an author, speaker, two-time Emmy Award winner, and entrepreneur. I'm a Jackie of all trades and a master of some. Each week, I bring on people from all walks of life to talk to them about their inspiring stories in the fields of self-development, relationships, business, and how you can love yourself even more. For more about me and the podcast, visit us at loveyouevenmore.com. Welcome, Mary Monocle, to the Love You Even More podcast. Mary and I today are going to talk about getting into your divine feminine to attract your soul mate, your partner, that person we're all looking for. Mary is an expansion coach, and we were set up by a mutual friend. And it's so funny because we just got on the podcast right now, and I was like, wait, I know you. I've met you before. And we had. So Mary, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Jack Lotus. I'm so excited for this conversation. And yeah, it's always better. I don't want to say it's always better, but when you know someone and you've met in real life, sparks are going to fly.
Definitely. So tell us a little bit about what you do first before we get into it.
Yeah. So I typically work with single women who are ready to attract love. But more importantly, they recognize something about themselves that it's a lot deeper than just finding love. They recognize that it's really challenging for them to surrender. It's really challenging them to let go of control, to ask for help, and which I know we're going to dive into all of this. And those are very much masculine traits. So we typically work with women who are in their masculine, which we're the go-getters. We, you know, like Jacqueline and I, we have big goals, big dreams, and we want to make an impact and lead, which then tends to shift us predominantly as women in our masculine energy. So what I do is I work with clients to get them so they're leading with their feminine energy, but also grounded in their masculine energy, because I'm a big believer that it's important to have both. It's important to be in energetic alignment where we have the amazing goals and we're taking the action, but we're also softened in our feminine energy. We're connecting truly from a heart-centered place where we feel confident and trust ourselves. And this word vulnerability is in a scary, scary place and a scary thing to share. So that's what I do with clients and what I do right now.
I love that. That's so what it's about. You know, I mean, women, I think this is a conversation that's just happening, right? We've all been like kind of forced into our masculine because, you know, growing up, we were fed like you can do anything, which of course we can. All of that is very true. But then you dive so far into your masculine that, yeah, like you just said, you don't know how to be vulnerable and you don't know how to receive. And, you know, a man who's in his divine masculine wants to take care, wants to give, wants to protect. And I think there's so much resistance when you're so deep in your own masculine as a woman to be like, no, I got this. We're good. Thanks. So what have you noticed yourself with this? Like, is this a personal journey that you've been on as well?
Oh my God. Yeah. I used to be I'm Miss Independent. I don't need a man. I don't need no one. I got this all on my own. And I love that quality about myself. I am very independent and I own that. But again, that's why I'm on big about being balanced with your masculine and your feminine. Just to give an example, if I was out on a date with a man, I would be like, here, let me get the check.
Oh, no.
And cringe. Yep. And of course, so I was attracting men who were actually in their feminine, who I call the weak men, where they were letting me pay. They're like, oh yeah, because they had an unhealed mother wound.
Mm-hmm.
I had unhealed father wound issues, which we could dive into if you want. But so I was so much in my masculine energy to the point where I'm like, here, let me pick up the check on a first date. And that was all coming from a place where I deeply unhealed wounds, and which was diving into my own healing journey of feeling good enough. Yeah. So I had all these unhealed wounds where I really didn't believe that I was good enough. And, you know, for people listening, I'm sure maybe if you can resonate, there's a time where you were really trying to prove yourself and it was coming from a place where you're thinking, I don't feel good enough. What's wrong with me? So I got to that place with myself where I'm saying, what is wrong with me where I can't attract a quality man, a man who's going to love me for me? And listen to my languaging there, because I'm all about holding up a mirror to yourself. I'm all about holding yourself accountable, because that's truly empowerment. So what I'm saying, who's going to love me for me? It hit me like I just walked into a wall, because I realized I have to break through that wall. I have a deeper level to dive into. And I recognize that I actually don't fully love all of these parts about myself. So that led me onto this healing journey, which I am so passionate about. And then also leading me to help women with the same thing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is at the bottom of this, like your self-worth and why is it lacking? You know, I completely resonate. There have just been different times in my life where I felt like I was really good. I was really strong. And then like the universe will bring in a certain kind of a partner that, by the way, you attracted and then you allowed in. So I did some work on that. But you'll attract someone who will also be like you, right? If you're giving off this like super masculine energy, they're going to respond in super feminine. And you're like, wait, what? And it is the opposite, but it is it is the same sort of energy. So like if you're coming from a place of like victimhood, that's a really strong one that a lot of people come from. Yeah. You might not even realize that you're coming from a place of victimhood. You might just feel like, yeah, you know what? I've had some shit happen to me. And you haven't actually healed those wounds, you will attract someone who is also in their victimhood and you'll trauma bond and it'll become a whole thing. So really understanding like where your baseline of self-worth is, whether you're aware or you're not aware of it. I think your relationships is what you're saying will reflect to you kind of where you're at too, which can suck to hear, by the way. I don't think this is like something anyone wants to hear. But like, I know personally, my biggest growth has come from being like, how come this person is my partner? Why is this happening to me? And why am I allowing it? What parts of me do I need to heal so that that doesn't keep happening?
Yeah, it can. I remember when I first realized that I first recognized I don't love all these parts of myself. I was so upset for probably a week because also at that point I was so out of whack with my emotions. I was not in touch with my emotions, but I was so upset. And then when you start to get over yourself in that way and recognize, wait, actually, if I created this, then I have the power to change that. And that's fully self-empowerment, where it's, you're able to then switch the narrative from that victim to becoming the woman who you really want to be and who has everything that she truly desires from her heart.
And then you were saying too, you know, it's like, if you don't feel good enough, what are some of the ways that you started to really dig into helping yourself feel worthy and feel good enough?
Yeah. Oh, I love that question, because I think oftentimes when women, we think, well, one, a feminine energy, what's being taught, it goes into, oh, do this to be good enough. So one, I want to share I tried these and it didn't work, but also why and what to do. So at first I was trying mantras. I'm good enough. I'm good enough. I'm good enough. And I didn't believe that. I'm like, this is stupid. And that doesn't work initially, I say, because mantras are powerful to a certain point. Well, one, it depends when you're doing them, when your subconscious mind has been primed open. But two, mantras don't work unless you've gotten to the root. That's like trying to garden in a garden and plant flowers. I'm good enough flowers when you haven't gotten out the weeds. So tried that. I tried journaling and doing yoga and meditating, which is all the other things that are taught, which those are very masculine places of trying to heal. Because when you're journaling, that is another activity. You're journaling around what it is like, what it is that you want essentially, and doing yoga. That's another activity. That's another thing. So the reason I'm mentioning journaling, yoga, meditation, because I love these practices. I'm a yoga teacher background. But these are all practices where it's like, let's do something to fix it. And that to me, these weren't working because again, you have to get to the root. So one of the phases that I do with my clients is we start to, it's called the RS method, release and surrender. So you have to one, see what is in the way of you actually not feeling good enough. So when I got to see what was in the way of me not feeling good enough, I'm realizing it's because I'm comparing myself to other women. I'm looking at other women's bodies. I'm saying, oh, you know, she looks confident and, you know, she's a little bit bigger than me, so I can be confident. And there was so much so I'm looking at where can I let go of all of that? I'm starting to then surrender and soften into, okay, my wound is exposed. What can I put in here? Which now goes into the process of what I did to start to feel good enough, which is shifting your identity. Who are you going to be? Who are you going to be? I said, well, I want to be the woman who makes a really big impact. And I started to ask myself, okay, well, I'm doing identity work, which is what is she doing differently? How is she walking? How is she speaking? What are the things she's saying about herself? So starting to feel good enough comes from a place of being. What energy? I'm very big on energy and vibes. What energy can you tap into? And for me, being a lot of that energy was just tapping into recognizing that what I'm doing at the end of the day is enough, and not beating myself up of, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that. And so it was really about stepping into being proud of myself at the end of the day of, wow, okay, I didn't get everything that I wanted to do done, but I am so freaking proud of myself.
Oh God, that is so true. I mean, I'm all about really recognizing the small wins. Like even today, I did a bunch of stuff today and I was like, good for you for that. And this and this and this, and they were tiny, right? But I did it and I got it done. Whereas I could have just been like, yeah, that's on my to-do list, I'll get there. But like really being excited for yourself, because it's those small baby things that you do that add to big things. And then you do become that identity that you're trying to be. It's funny, while you were describing that, I did a previous podcast in January where I talk about being in my Grace Kelly era. And It's something I've been sort of playing with for the last few months, where I'm like walking around sort of emulating, not Grace Kelly per se, but my like inner Grace Kelly. And it's really fascinating because people feel that energy. Men, women, dogs, whatever. They feel it. And they either are attracted to it or they get out of the way, like legitimately move out of the way. And I'm like, oh, this is great. This is so great. I love her. And that's part of like, I think what you're describing is becoming the identity of who you really want to be, like your higher self. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. And I love that you said that example. That's one of the things I actually play around with too. Well, for a while for me, I was like, I use Taylor Swift as the example, and I'm not like a big Swiftie or anything, but the Taylor
Swift. We love the Swift. The
Taylor Swift effect is real.
Real.
So I would literally be out walking, or if I was out on a run, if I was going to the store, and tell myself, Mary, you're Taylor Swift. Act as Taylor Swift. And now it just gets to the point where I tell myself, Mary, act as if you're famous. Like, talk as if you're famous. Move as if you're famous. Because... And to me, my definition of famous is being someone who is a leader, someone who is here to make an impact. So I love that you said that, Jacqueline, because I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I'm describing.
No, it's so powerful. I really do think that there is something like, it's almost kind of a fake it till you make it kind of thing, not completely, but it's like, if you play this role and you just play around with it, it will start to feel real. You know, I did a lot of that when I was like much younger in my early 20s. I was in the music industry and I would just like have to go to all of these shows and parties, and people would ask you, you know, what do you do? And like at the time I was like trying to be a singer, trying to be a songwriter. Like I was those things per se, of course, but I wasn't like a professional songwriter or a professional singer. well, maybe I actually was like a professional singer, but I was definitely not a songwriter, professional songwriter. And I had to say it over and over and over again. And eventually I was like, no, you know what? I am. Even if it's not professional right now, I actually am. And just the practice of saying it, even if you don't believe it, eventually you do start believing it. And people will automatically believe it because you're telling them. I mean, why wouldn't they, right?
Yes. And I love that. The thing I want to add on to that too, because I'm a firm believer, and these are just my beliefs and my thoughts, so you may resonate with what I've been sharing, you may not. I'm a firm believer. I say this all the time. Fake it until you make it is wrong. And what I say instead is be it until you become it. Because if you're trying to fake it and you feel like you're saying, hey, I'm a millionaire, but because you're manifesting being a millionaire, but you're like, you don't feel comfortable saying that. And you can tell because you, when you say it, you don't actually feel it. But when you start to then say these things, a big piece of what I'm also big on is I say, make it make sense. So if you're saying, hey, I'm a singer, I'm a songwriter. Why are you a singer, songwriter? So I do this time and time again, when I'm getting ready to up level and quantum leap, I will say I am enough because I have a big heart. I'm patient. I'm kind. So those are to plant the seed, because instead of just being like, I am abundant, I trust, right? These mantras, but it's like, they can work, but why? So your mind is starting to say, oh, there's proof. And those proof is planting more of this belief within yourself.
That is a beautiful way of doing this. I love that. That, because you're right. Like, it does feel wrong. And that's why affirmations don't work when you don't believe them. That's part of it's. It can be very damaging, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Because if you are saying also, because it might work in a sense where you attract the money, but if you don't actually feel safe to be with money, you are going to lose that money and then probably feel worse off.
That's so true. Okay. So that's a beautiful place to go. So when you are now practicing these kinds of things and you are getting stronger in yourself and you are believing what you say you are and you're becoming what you want to be, how do we start to get more into our divine feminine?
Oh, I love that question. Yeah. So a place to start to shift into your divine feminine energy is to really, one, understand, we'll focus on larger scale first, because I'm all about, think about what you want. So for the purpose of this podcast, let's look at soulmate. So you want your soulmate, your divine masculine man, who is going to be emotionally available. He's going to care for you. He's going to take you out on amazing dates. And so to start to shift into your feminine energy, one, it's important to recognize, well, what patterns have I been getting? Maybe you've been attracting men who are way too masculine. They're too much in their masculine, where they're too controlling, because we can have that. We want a healthy, aligned masculine man.
Yes.
But for this instance, I already spoke the words emotionally unavailable. If you are so much in your masculine energy as a woman, you've most likely are uncomfortable with connecting to your emotions, and there are parts, because I used to think I'm so comfortable with my emotions and people could cry in front of me and I wouldn't feel weird, but I had so much shame and guilt that I was hiding within myself. And so I was really pushing down my emotions. So I would attract a lot of emotionally unavailable men, and I would also attract a lot of men who were basically would take me out and then ghost me and never hear from them again. So let's explore these two examples where the emotionally unavailable man, he is someone, why am I attracting that? So that's step number one, is to look at the kinds of men that you're attracting and ask yourself about, where is this mirroring me? For me, I had to open up to my emotions and really feel comfortable to share and express them at a deeper level. And then with the guys who would ghost me, it was a deep wound that I was so afraid of being abandoned, that I would attract men to validate that. See, I can never be in a committed relationship. I'm scared. And see, look, they're ghosting me. So it's one that, so one, look at the types of men that you are attracting. And then to start to shift that, to gear it towards your question, Jacqueline, is, okay, those are the key components of what I needed to work on and I needed to heal. So I started to embrace my emotions. I used to be someone where I thought it was weak to cry. I had a lot of unhealed father wounds. When I was around my dad, if I felt like I was going to cry, I would bite my tongue. So I rather feel pain than express my emotions. So it was that deep. I'd rather bite my tongue, feel pain. So I had to learn with being okay to show emotions and communicate them. And so one, if you're listening to this, to be able to shift into your feminine energy, a big piece of that is going to be allowing yourself to be in connection with your emotions. And a metaphor I give off with this, it's like a horse in a stable versus a wild horse. Mm. A woman who's in her feminine energy is the wild horse. She's feeling all the feels and she's rolling with it. Where the horse in the stable is, okay, I'm here in this stable, I'm here in this barn. These are the things that I got to do and this and that. The wild horse is free. And then to finish off the example of starting to shift into your feminine energy was when I recognize I'm attracting these men who are validating my abandonment wound. Everyone leaves me. I had to get so real with myself because I realized that I was actually so scared of love. I was so scared of allowing love in. I was so scared to receive. So a big piece of starting to shift in your feminine energy is asking yourself, where can you receive? How good are you at receiving? How comfortable, I should say, are you with receiving compliments, with receiving someone helping you, with receiving help? And again, Miss Independent over here. No, I got this. I'll pay for this. I'll do that. Another piece in that is control. So I had to learn how to let go. So those are really, I could go on and on and on because there's so many ways, but those are three main ways to start to shift into your feminine energy is really allowing yourself to be in connection with your emotions, which then leads for being open to receive, whether that's love, whether that's help. And then allowing yourself to really surrender and let and trust the process, let go of the reins and be that wild horse.
This is perfect and beautiful. I can definitely hear some women thinking. I can hear this question of, okay, well, I was vulnerable and I was trying to be the wild horse, but then he hurt me or he was a narcissist or he used it against me. How do we do that?
I love that question. Cause again, that was me. I went from, and this is why I'm so passionate about what I do with women, because I went from being, I'm so controlling, walls up, control, control, control. And then I'm like, I'm going to be the wild horse. I'm going to break out of the stable. And I went to the extreme where, yeah, then I'm attracted. I'm in my wild horse. Sure. You can, you know, do whatever. I'll be vulnerable and this and that. And it comes from, that's why I'm very big on balance and getting an energetic alignment is because one, it's actually today I set an intention to really be unbothered because I've been noticing lately, I'm actually leading, I think my period's coming. So maybe that has something to do with it, but I've been super emotional about a lot of things and right. Cause that's the, almost to a point where it's distracting me from doing things that I want to get done. And there is a balance, which I'll share a tip in a second of how to navigate that. But I set the intention, I want to be unbothered. Someone could come screaming me in my face today. And I would be like, are you okay? And you know, I'm not screaming back. So there is a place to be able to shift into balance. And one of the things that I feel called to tip to share is to drop it into your body, drop into your body and just connect with you. You mentioned the words, Jacqueline, that there's probably women listening to this who are in their head. And even if it's just for a moment, because getting out of your head and getting into your heart and being fully in the present moment is a practice. Just drop into your body, drop into your heart, and ask yourself, what do you need? What do you actually need in this moment? So to bring it back over towards your question, Jacqueline, because I think a lot of us are one extreme to the next, because if we're extremely emotional and we're extremely acting from a place where we are that wild horse, most of the time when I see within clients, when you ask yourself, well, why is this coming up? What do you need? They just need some attention. They just need some love, some support. Hey, I want to be seen. So when you can recognize where it's at, you can actually use that energy for and channel it where it needs to be led. But then the opposite extreme, you know, which was mostly my case, the walls up and the guard, it's, well, what do you need, Mary? And it actually is very similar. I just need to feel safe. I need to feel love. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, if someone's like been really vulnerable and like been emotional or just been vulnerable with their life, and then the person they're seeing, dating, in a relationship with, you know, does something hurtful. And I mean, mm-hmm. like an extreme way, like they're definitely like not their person. I think in like, it's, I'm so such a big proponent in getting into your body as well. Like instead of your head, just like, where is it sitting in your body? And the more you practice that, the more you can find it. And then you can actually start to like work with it. But I think, you know, and maybe I'm off, but for what I'm sort of hearing is like, be open, be vulnerable. But I think if I were in that situation, I would be like, okay, this person's definitely not respecting me. They're having issues. Yes, okay, I'm feeling this is not good. And this is something too that I've been saying for a while is you don't have to always understand if something feels wrong. Like if someone is doing something verbally or physically or whatever, and you're just like, yeah, this feels wrong in whatever way that feels, just knowing like your body, like you said, like dropping into your body is telling you, and you do not need to intellectually understand why. Like you don't need to ask all the questions of the guy. You just have to be like, yeah, you're not my divine masculine. I am in my feminine here. I am opening myself up. I am being vulnerable, and you are either hurting or taking advantage or whatever feels bad. So I'm not sure if that's coinciding with what you said.
Yeah. Absolutely. So in those points, boundaries and communication. And so there was a time where I went on a few dates with this guy, and then it was starting to plateau a little bit. And I was questioning, oh, is he actually just into me, or is he actually into what we have, or is he just into me physically? Because at that point we were already intimate, and that could lead to a whole other conversation, my whole other opinion on that. But I was questioning, does he actually like me? And so I had to set a boundary for the first time in a long time. And that was scary for me at that point. I said to him, and I don't remember exactly how I said to him, but I'm going to say it in the way to communicate from a feminine way. So listen to my languaging here, which I said, well, say his name's Bob. It wasn't Bob. Hey, Bob, I feel like I'm not really sure if this relationship, I'm not sure where this relationship is leading, because it started out strong and now it's starting to hit a plateau. It would make me feel really special if our next date was at a dinner, and it was a place where I could wear a dress and do my hair and do my makeup. So, well, one, that was about me setting a boundary, saying, hey, I want to be taken out, essentially. I don't want to be just hanging out, Netflix and chill, because towing. So for a woman, what you're saying, Jacqueline, is coming from a place where it's, okay, maybe you aren't, you're trying all the things and you're opening up and you're being vulnerable. Well, it's a big piece is to know your boundary. And oftentimes we don't know our boundaries until they're crossed. Mm-hmm. And it's important to it's very important to recognize that and do something about it, aka set a boundary, which then goes into my second tip, which is communication, is knowing how to be able to speak up and communicate. I'm an avoidant attachment style, meaning I avoid things at all costs. So for that version of Mary to set a boundary was huge. And boundaries are so, that's what's going to be the piece when you are, you're like, hey, I am being vulnerable. I am sharing my emotions, but how well are you? Because one, identifying your boundaries is it. So one, identifying your boundaries. Sometimes we don't know what they are until they're crossed. But if you're listening to this, ask yourself now, what are your some non-negotiables? So for me, some of my non-negotiables are I'm not willing to accept, especially, you know, when I'm dating and on going on dates, I'm not willing to accept anything less than being taken out and being treated like the woman that I want to be treated, where a man's picking me up. He has flowers in his hand. He's opening the car door. And these, I get these needs met because it goes in the tip number two, which is communication. So hopefully that officially answers the question of when you're on those spectrums, is you have to know what your boundaries are. Learn from the past. If you're thinking about that, think about what your non-negotiables are, and then communicate that when either a boundary is crossed, because again, this happens to me time and time again. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, that's a new one. Okay. That's a boundary. Let me communicate that.
Absolutely. I think that that is so key in any state of the relationship, whether it's the very, very beginning or you're well into it. Once you feel that boundary being crossed, like you said, to actually, when you see it, say it, you know? Yeah. And I think too, women are so afraid to speak up because they're like, well, what if I say something and then he leaves?
Yes.
It's like, good. He should. You should just leave, you know? Like, this isn't about let me hold on to him, because if you are in that state of like, well, let me hold on to him because what if I never find someone like him again? You're already coming from a place of scarcity. And then you have to go right back to the whole self-worth area and be like, where am I needing to, you know, heal my wounds? There's obviously stuff to be done. But really saying something and not being afraid, because I don't want to like gender stereotype or anything, but most men will say what they want. They will speak up for themselves, you know, they will, whether it's business or a relationship. And that's the problem, is that most women have been sort of taught to be this good girl, this nice girl, like, don't say anything, just like, let's see what happens, don't rock the boat. But honestly, like, you know, I actually just had this recently where I went on a couple of dates with a really nice guy. Nothing was wrong with him. But I put a boundary down and it didn't go very well. And things ended like promptly thereafter. And I was like, well, see, there you go. Time not wasted. And to be honest, I already kind of knew that that was going to happen. So it felt empowering to be like, hey, here's my boundary. And if you're not cool with it, that's totally fine. Like, peace, you know?
Yes, I love that. And I love that you mentioned that we're, as women, we are afraid to set boundaries because we're like, yeah, what if they leave me? And again, look at that languaging. We're putting men on a pedestal when we're the prize over here.
Thank
we
you.
Are the prize. So it's when, if you have something that doesn't sit well with you and you don't set a boundary and communicate that, then you're abandoning yourself. And that's how, like Jacqueline said, that's how we get looped back into this cycle. I was talking this out with my coach in our voice chat. And I was saying how I started to get a little bit anxious because I met this guy and things were going amazing. And we had amazing plans and set, and I was like, well, what if he cancels? Like, I was like, I have this fear he's going to cancel. Like, I just know it. And I was projecting out disappointment. And kind of what I intuitively unlocked within myself was, well, Mary, what about these plans are you really looking forward to? And I was like, oh, the adventure, it's going to be fun. I'm going to have a good time. And then an intuitive download came in, which was again, that's the thing, you're really manifesting that energy. So start to bring that in with yourself. So that week I focused on having more fun, connecting with people. I was out smiling, starting conversation. I would run a different way than my usual route because I'm welcoming in that adventure. Because my energy was saying, hey, this man, these plans are going to give you this energy to fulfill your cup. But that's not true. And that's why I was so attached to, oh my God, what if I get disappointed? So yeah, I just felt called to share that.
Yeah, no. That's true. Cause that's so part of like our fear too. It kind of just, if you find out like where it's really running to, that fear is, in your case, you were like, well, I want these things to happen, not necessarily with a guy per se, but like, I want these other things to happen. I'm afraid that's not going to happen. If he cancels on me, like I won't have that experience. That I think that's a perfect time to be like, well, how can I make that for myself? If he does cancel, I'm going to go do it anyway, you know?
Yeah, because it all comes back to self-love, which it all starts again at the beginning. But these new level, new devil, they come up. And but when you get to a place where you feel really secure with yourself, it does make attracting a man a lot more fun. You feel a lot more safe. And then you'll notice these when you, because it's all energy and it trickles into other areas. So I noticed so much that I felt so much more safe, more confident in my business. I felt so much more safe and confident around relationships, because friendships, I had actually let a lot of friendships go. But now I'm so blessed to have so many amazing soul aligned friends. So once, it's so beautiful once you start to do this healing work in one area. So maybe it is the soulmate and you're like, oh, Mary and Jacqueline, that feels so far away. Just start to do any sort of healing work because you'll see it impact other areas too.
It really does. I'm such a big fan of the healing, and it's not just like, hey, I healed, I'm good now. It is constant. And like you said, it does pop up, like new things pop up. But if you're just willing, I think, to just lean into it, lean into the resistance and the hardness of all of it, you'll get to the other side and you'll be so much stronger. And my belief is that the more that you evolve, the stronger you become, the more healed you are, the more that you will align with the right person that you're supposed to be with. Again, it's like you can go out with someone, and again, this really just happened to me. You can go out with someone and be like, wow, I would have totally dated you like 10 years ago. Yeah, maybe even 5. I would have totally, we would have been in a relationship. We probably would have been engaged. But now I have healed so much it feels old. When it's a new person, it feels old. So if you are trying to like call in your soulmate, I mean, and get in your divine feminine, this work, the healing work, the self-love, the digging to get you to where you can be your fullest and strongest and most beautiful with or without a man, ladies, because trust me, we're going to all be alone together when we're old anyway. Like they will come in at the level you're at and you'll feel it. You won't even question. And I think, and listen, this hasn't happened, but I really think that once you like meet your match, it just feels like that. It just feels like, oh, great. We're aligned. We're just equals. This is great. And they know how to be in their divine masculine because you're being in your divine feminine and you're letting them give so that you can receive. And it just kind of flows. That's the goal.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. It really is. It's such a beautiful process. And it really is. Like, I love that point because I was laughing because I'm like, yeah, I thank God I didn't, like, the one that got away. Oh my God.
Oh, I know.
Thank you, Lord, because OMG. And so it's all that to say, it all goes back to your feminine energy. It's just the process. Trust what you can't see, which is around the corner. And it's there. It's just about fully surrendering into trusting the process, but also doing the work along the way.
Absolutely. Mary, you are such a lovely person. I have so enjoyed our conversation. Will you tell people how they can find you?
Oh, thank you, Jacqueline. So I love this conversation so much. and connect with me on Instagram. It's at MaryMC4. And if you want to DM me quiz, I have a free quiz where you can identify if you are leading with your masculine energy or if you're leading with your feminine energy. But what's so beautiful about this quiz is whatever you get, it will tell you the benefits of how being the masculine is suiting you. It'll tell you the benefits of maybe you are leading with your feminine energy, but also how you can align your energy and maybe how being very one-sided is impacting you, and it'll help you align your energy. So connect with me on Instagram, DM me quiz, and I'll send you that free quiz. And that's where I'm at.
I love it. Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you, Jacqueline.